Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. It is the seventh book in the New Testament. So if you find Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The title of my message this morning is, Who is Jesus to You? Everyone in this room this morning, you acknowledge that Jesus is somebody. That Jesus is a true historical figure. And I love that because if you're going to be honest, no one can really deny that a person named Jesus existed that did the things the Bible talks about. But this is super important. I want you to take this message very personal, each person. Who is Jesus to you? I made a comment in a Bible study the other day, and I said, most people that go to church have enough Jesus to send them to hell. And this person, they were kind of shocked when I said that. They said, what do you mean? Again, let me tell you what I told them. I said, most people that attend church have enough Jesus to send them to hell. You would not be here this morning if you weren't, you know, okay with Jesus and interested in Jesus and had some good thoughts about Jesus. You wouldn't be here this morning. And so you know this, and I love this. You've honored God by being here this morning, because each and every first day of the week, we celebrate the resurrection. Christ rose on the first day of the week, and that's why we meet, one of the reasons why we meet each Sunday, each first day of the week. But this is so important. I want you to ask yourself, who is Jesus to you? This morning, I'm going to preach as though you know nothing. I want you to understand some truths of the Bible. The first thing I want you to ask this question, what is the gospel? I don't think I've met a person in the United States yet that I say, have you ever heard of the word gospel? No one's ever said no in the United States. And so I'm going to assume that every single person, you're sitting in your chair this morning, you've heard the word gospel. I want you just to think in your mind, what is the gospel? I'm going to show you in God's word, but let me just give you a couple thoughts here. The gospel is good news. It's a good message. The word gospel means good message, good news. That's what the word gospel is about. So, but then, what is this good message? What is this good news? And so, I want you to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've heard that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you heard me even say this morning, they are the gospels in the Bible. Those four books tell of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus Christ. It's the good news. I want to show you in the scriptures. That's why I had you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm just going to have on the screen verses 1 through 4, and you can read through 8, but this is what the Bible says. This is God writing to the church at Corinth. You might hear me say sometimes Paul wrote this, but Paul was really the secretary. He was moved by the Holy Spirit to where the very words he wrote were the eternal words of God. And so Paul, speaking to this young church, really God through Paul, he says this, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. I at least want you to be able today when you leave, I want you to at least have been introduced to what is the gospel. Because when I ask people, either just, you know, whether I'm at Kroger's, whether I'm at a gas station, whether I'm at their door, I ask people, what is the gospel? 95 out of 100 do not know. I at least, and you won't go to heaven by having information in your head, but I'll tell you this, it'll never get to your heart until it gets in your head. I want you to know what the gospel is. He says this, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. He says, he preached that to them, which they received, and wherein they stood, you stand, by which also you are saved. So I want you to know what God is telling this church here. He said, I declare unto you the gospel, which was preached unto them, which they had received. They stood in the gospel, but it also saved them. You're going to hear that term today, saved. You know, all it means, don't get too complicated, it just means, have you been rescued? You know, if there was a fire in your house, you would want to be rescued or saved from that fire. And so when we talk eternal things, when we talk Bible things, and when he says, by which you are saved, It's eternal salvation. It's being rescued from the punishment that each one of us in this room deserves. I know that's shocking, but we're going to walk through some scriptures to help you understand some truth. But I want you to see this. Here's what it says. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, which also you are saved. For I declare unto you, first of all, that which I also received. So Paul's speaking to this church. He's saying, I'm not making this up. I'm just telling you this is what I was given. How that? This is the gospel. These three underlying plates. That Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. That he was buried. And that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. I want you to understand this. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ is that Jesus died for you. He took upon himself your sin. He was punished for your sin, and he died. His body died. He was buried, and he rose again, not after 3 days, but on the third day. I want you to understand that. That is the good news. It's the hope of mankind. I don't think I told anybody in this room anything new. Most people in America, in fact, I'll tell you, I travel the world. Most people in the world have heard what I've just told you. They just didn't know it was related to the word gospel. But here's the problem. The devil loves you being 90% there, because if you're not all there, you're not saved. The devil loves religion. That's why there's so many religions. Oh, he wants you to be religious. He's not bothered. If you go to church, he'd rather you go to church that won't preach the Bible. There's plenty of those. But what the devil's interested in is for you having enough Jesus to make yourself feel good and then split hell wide open. I tell people all the time, I ask people all the time, I want to have a Bible study with them, and just ask a guy this past week, and I said something that I semi-disagree with. I said, you know why I want to have a Bible study with you? He said, no. I said, I want you to go to heaven. You know what, though? I disagree with that a little bit. You know why I want you to listen to me this morning? I want you to know Jesus Christ personally. I want to tell you this. If Jesus isn't in heaven, it's not heaven. I want you to understand this. Salvation is knowing Jesus Christ and knowing him personally. I do not want you to misunderstand that. Salvation is not escaping the flames of hell. Oh, that's a great fringe benefit. But salvation is about one person. It's about Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you this. Who is he to you? Do you personally know him? Do you live for him? Or is he some attachment to your belt like a good luck charm? Is he just something that you say, you know, I'm good with Jesus. Don't you worry about me. You know, I'm a good person. Blah, 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 blah. You see, I'm going to explain to you this morning, salvation, the removal of your sins, is simple. But the result is radical. If you are sitting here today and you say, I'm good with Jesus, I believe in Jesus, but there hasn't been a radical change in your life, that's a red flag. And then he continually changes you for the rest of your life. Oh, I want to tell you don't become sin-free because you still have this flesh. But I will tell you this, when Jesus saves, Jesus changes. And so I want to tell you this, the gospel, not only is it good news, the good message, and it's the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but the gospel is what gets you in. That message, simple faith in Jesus Christ, in his work. You see, I ask everybody all the time, I say, if God were to ask you why he should let you into heaven, what would you tell him? The number one answer I get, they go, what did you say? And I'll say, if he says, why should I let you in? What are you going to tell him? You almost hear the wheels turn, and they're going like, well, I'm a good person. I do the best I can. I do unto others as I would have them do unto me. And then I mention the gospel, and here's almost what they all say. Yeah, of course, Jesus too. Is that where you're at? Jesus is an afterthought? Yeah, you know, I mean, I've got my good works, I've got Jesus, you know, I was baptized, Baptism won't get you to heaven. Going to church won't get you to heaven. Your good works won't get you to heaven. It's only the work of Christ. Did you see what the gospel is? You're saved by the work of Christ and only the work of Christ. The gospel is what gets you in. I'm going to show you a verse later. It's by grace through faith that gets you in. It's complete trust. It's a turning from any hope of anything, letting go of all things, letting go of all sin, turning in faith to Christ, and then you're saved. But it's what gets you in, and it's what keeps you in. Now, this is critical. If you're here this morning and you think that in order to go to heaven, you have to believe in Jesus and then be a good person, you're wrong. I want you to understand this. We're going to see this. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. I want to tell you, Jesus is enough that when he saves me, he keeps me saved. That's what's beautiful. I want you to understand this. The gospel of Jesus Christ, he did all the work necessary to save me, to get me in, and keep me in. You understand that? It's not my good works. I am not keeping my salvation by preaching this morning. I'm not keeping my salvation by being nice to my wife. I should be nice to my wife. And here's what the Bible says. If I'm truly born again, I'm truly saved, I've truly been rescued by Christ, my life will change and good works will come out of me. But my good works don't save me. I want you to understand that. Jesus saved me and Jesus keeps me saved. I want you to, that's critical. It's critical. You have to completely trust in Christ. Everybody adds to it that I speak with. They say, well, yeah, you got to believe in Jesus. Plus, you got to do all these things. No. I asked somebody, you guys, many of you have heard this. Why does an apple tree bear apples? Is it in order to be an apple tree or because it's an apple tree? Listen to me again. Why does an apple tree bear apples? Is it in order to be an apple tree or because it's an apple tree? Because it's an apple tree. Everybody knew that, right? Anybody miss that? Let me. You know, I mean, you should see when I ask people just one-on-one, they're like, oh, I'm like, no, it's not that tough, not that tough. I want to ask you this, and this is, I get the wrong answer here. It is, I have here, ladies, come on up. I've got three seats here. You guys scoop right over. I got three seats right here in the front row. Okay, you guys will take care of them back there. Awesome, guys. Great. So, it's this. I want you to listen to this. The gospel. Jesus is enough. You understand that? I'm preaching one person this morning, and that's Jesus Christ. You all say, I know Jesus, but do you really? You might know him here. Did he change your life? I want to talk about three things this morning. There are three L's. Three L's. Three L's. You're going to get uncomfortable with the first one. I want you to hang in there with me. I want you to understand this. The first L I want to talk about is law. Is law. I've been preaching on Wednesday night, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 is when God gives in writing the Ten Commandments. You know many of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Honor thy father and mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness, and thou shalt not covet. Those are the Ten Commandments. God gave those commandments, and those Ten Commandments represent every single sin we commit. They all come up to those Ten Commandments. And then Jesus simplified it even further, and he said, here's the two commandments, everything summed up in two commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. I want to ask you this. Has anyone kept the Ten Commandments perfectly? The answer is no. I want to help you understand this too. No one goes to heaven with their sin. Or this is heaven. And you all know this isn't heaven. I will tell you this isn't hell, to be clear. This is way better than hell. But this is definitely not heaven. The law, I want you to see some Bible verses. Now, I want you to read this verse with me, Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith. So I want you to just, the law, the Ten Commandments. So why were the Ten Commandments given? Every single one of us were in this situation. Now we know that what things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. What it means, every single person, you were born under the law, under the judgment of the law. God is the one that created every single person in this room. God is the one that we will all answer to. God is the one who determines what's right and wrong. I don't, he does. What he does is always perfect. God is holy. Every one of us were born under the law, under the judgment of the law, under the requirements of the law. And so he says, here's what the law says. It says to those who are under the law. Now I want to tell you this. If you are born again, that's another word for being saved. You've been spiritual, you've been given a spiritual birth. If you are truly saved, if you're truly born again, you are no longer under the judgment of the law. You are not. You have been forgiven of your sins, and you will no longer be judged by the law. Understand this, but if you are lost this morning, God's law will judge you one day. Here's what he says. Now we know that what things over the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Here's why the law was given, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. The law was given with this. It was this. It'll shut us up. If you tell me this morning, and you think this morning that you're going to heaven because you're a good person, you're not being honest with yourself. The requirement for heaven is perfection, sinless. The word sin in the Bible means missing the mark of perfection. There's not one person in this room that's missed that. We see that here in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The law was given that every mouth may be stopped. No more excuses. And all the world may become guilty before God. I want you to understand this. If you don't know Jesus personally, and I know you know that if you're lost this morning, he is not the one that rules your life. He is not the one that directs your life. He's not the one that you live for. He's not the one that you love. But you've got enough religion. Oh, Baptists! I tell people this, in good churches, and I don't even know if we qualify for that, in good churches, I fear that 50% of the people attending are going to hell. Or they go to church. You all know this. You watch people go to church and they live like the devil Monday through Saturday. Let me tell you what the Bible says is something's wrong. Because if you're a Christian, it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. I know this. We struggle with sin. We do. We struggle. But I will tell you this. A true Christian struggles. A true Christian wants to serve the King. I ask you this. Do you really know the King? Do you really know Christ? Is he truly yours personally? Now remember, I've been with tons of people having Bible studies, and here's what people do. They're all trying to prove that, you know what? I am a Christian. I told somebody just this past week, I've said, one of the traits, and it's in 1 John, that will prove that you're a Christian is you love being with other Christians. When I finished that Bible study, this person, by their fruits, the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know. This person, I'm so concerned they're lost. But here's what they said when I was finished with the Bible study. They said, well, I'm going to church on Sunday so that I can meet with God's people. They said it that way. And my heart broke because you know what she was doing? And there was a guy there too, just so you know. I don't have a Bible study with the lady by myself because I was like, no, I was trying to avoid the pronoun there, but here it blew it. But you know what she was doing? Convincing herself she's okay. You see, I'd be concerned. You're trying to convince yourself that you're okay. The real question is there evidence that you love Jesus Christ? That you've truly turned in faith to him? And that when you're thinking right, all you want to do is serve Jesus? I know, you got to buy groceries, you got to pay the bills. Stinking gas is $4 a gallon now, right? And life's expensive, not getting cheaper. But is Jesus really the one that you love? See, God gave us the Ten Commandments to show us that we're in trouble. Remember I said the gospel means good news? You know what the bad news is? We're all doomed. That's truth. We are not all children of God. If you listen to politicians, first, that's a mistake. But second, when they talk about spiritual things, that's a double mistake. Okay? So, you'll hear politicians all the time, we are all children of God. Not true. You must be born again into the family of God that only comes by faith in Jesus Christ. I want you to look at this. He says, the law was given that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. He tells us right there, you won't get to heaven by being good. Now, I told some folks the other day, so occasionally when I go on longer trips, my foot, man, it's just like super heavy. And so I haven't worked out enough, right? So I've really been on it this last year, right? Because I had a wreck last May, and I'm turning 60 this year. I know. It doesn't look that way, but it's not that funny. But so I had a wreck last May. It was my fault. Oh, man, I was like a teenager, right? I was like, oh, man, they're going to cancel my insurance, and here I'm going to have to call Safeco, right? I mean, at 60. And so I've been really good. I've been living like most people live their religious life. I've been trying to do better. I'm doing better. Grandma, here. I'm doing better this past year. I'm doing better. I'm trying to be a good person. It's been a year. So some of you know I picked up my grandson Cliff with my wife in Beckley, West Virginia. That's the halfway point between Raleigh. We brought him back last week, and we took him back this past Friday. That's a 9-hour round trip. Yeah, testing me. And so, you know, it's my wife, you know, because this I've got a car rental because somebody backed into me a couple weeks ago. So I got a car rental, and it's digital. Bummer. I mean, because it's like, you know, I put something so she can't see it, but she can see the digital readout. And she goes, you know, you're going too fast. And, you know, try to slow down, you know. You know, I say, well, you know, try to be under 15. Not good. It's the same way if you're trying to be good in order to go to heaven. You can't do it. One sin will separate you from God, and we've sinned tens of thousands, if not millions. Here's why I pound on this. It's so important. If you don't understand the bad news, why in the world would you ever surrender to anyone? If you're not in trouble, you'll never look for the remedy. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of our sin, we can't get to heaven with our sin. You have to get rid of it. The Bible says this. Look at Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Not one righteous person in here by your good works. I have been made righteous through Christ and his righteousness. I want you to understand this. The only good thing about Steve Hall is Jesus Christ. In second place is my wife, but she's so far in second place, I can't even see it. And I love my wife. Jesus is that much better. I want you to understand, there's none righteous. You're not righteous. If you think you're getting to heaven by being good, you're in trouble. You disagree with the Bible. Who do you think's right? You or the Bible? I tell you that in great love. I tell you that because God is required to be just, and he will be your judge. I will not be your judge. I tell you this today. I love preaching the truth. But the first thing begins with, the law is going to condemn us if that's what we base our hope in, is my goodness or your goodness. You understand that? The Bible says, there's none righteous, no, not one. Look what it finishes here. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. You can't even do good. Because God says, if it's not done in faith to him, it is sin. Look at the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Oh, I love this second part, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But that first part, for the wages of sin is death. Every single one of us in this room, and you know that, we're going to die. 2 years ago, the night before Easter, I broke my hip. I'm very conscious of this stage this morning. You know, the hip feels good today. But I don't want to be superstitious about it, right? I heard Blair. Blair, I heard you were mentioning me yesterday. Where were you guys at? On the trampoline, right? I stayed away from trampolines yesterday. I didn't break my hip on a trampoline. My wife kicked me, but well, that's another story. She didn't. She she said, you know, some people are going to believe you. I said, you know, they need to pity me a little bit more. They pity you way too much. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. We're all going to die. Here's why we're going to die. It's sin. Do you know, I've asked hundreds of people, you know we're all going to die. Do you know why? I asked the cashier at Thornton's this morning. She said, no, but I think you're going to tell me. And I did. I told her. I said, it's sin. It's sin why we're going to die. You know why the trees die? You know why the dog dies? Our sin. You understand that? Everything bad is a result of? Everything good is a result of God. Nothing good happens without God. I want you to understand this. The reason I'm hammering on sin is it surely shows what a great God we have. If you understand how pathetic you are, how terrible you are, and I know that's not popular today, but I will tell you this, the older I get, the worse I realize I am and I was. But when I realize how bad I was, oh, the glory and the goodness of God is just so bright. Because I want to ask you this, Mike, who do I sin against? God. And he's the one, the second L I want to show you, that loved me. That loved me. You understand this? If I kicked you in the face like 25 times and just broke your jaw and you were bloodied and you were a mess, and then I expected you to love me, you would say, that's ridiculous, Steve. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. You shouldn't have kicked them in the mouth. I've kicked God in the mouth millions of times. He's the one that I've sinned against. He's the one that was so good to me that he told me how bad I was. And then he loved me enough that he said, I'll come and rescue you. You see, if you tell me you know Jesus this morning and your life didn't change, ain't no way you know him. You see, I told you that first L, the law. We're bad. There's not one good person here when we compare ourselves to the perfect holiness of God. And we're way worse than we want to admit. And God's way better than we actually give him credit for. Everything bad, we blame God. Everything good, we take credit. But I want to tell you this. If you can just come to grips this morning with how bad you are, oh, God is that good. I want to show you verses that you've probably seen before. Romans chapter 5, it says this, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. There'll be people in this life that will die for others. But they'll die for a good person, a righteous man. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. For, you know, I mean, we talk about in war, they say that what keeps a man in a foxhole is his comrade. The camaraderie with the man in the foxhole next to him. They will give up their lives because they will not abandon their friend. That's good. Bible acknowledges that's good. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man would even, some would even dare to die. But, now this is, you must understand this, but God commendeth his love for us, toward us. You understand this? But God commendeth his love toward us. Stinking, rotten, wicked sinners, every single one of us. I don't get great joy telling you that, but if you don't get a hold of that, then you'll never truly surrender in faith to Jesus Christ. If you're holding on to your goodness, that is most likely what will send you to hell. There's only one that's good, and that's God. Do you see the contrast here? He said, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But, you talk about contrasting, God didn't die for good people. He died for bad, really bad people. And I'm at the top of the list. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Most people, when they hear about the crucifixion of Jesus, final four. What time is it tomorrow night? Man, we get excited about that. Boy, has the devil not sold us a bunch of lies? We get more excited about stupid games than we do the God of the universe that loved you so much that he came 2,000 years ago. He sent his son, who is God himself. He came and he died for you so that you might live. You might be excited about sin. Oh, so many people, they say, if God requires this, then I'll never believe. Then that's what'll damn your soul. I want to tell you this. God loves you. But he cannot ignore your sin. You listen to most TV preachers today. Come as you are, stay as you are. It's okay. You can have Jesus and your sin too. Not according to the Bible. When Jesus saves, he'll change you. Look, I battle this flesh. You can already tell my temperament. Yes, of course, you would agree that there's not a 24-hour day goes by that I don't sin. But I've got news for you. You sin every 24 hours as well. You know what I love? When Jesus saved me, he forgave and removed my past, my present, and my future sins. And when he sees me, he sees perfection. Not because I'm perfect, but because when Jesus saved me, he gave me the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is perfect. You talk about love. You see, people call it hellfire and brimstone preaching. Let me tell you this. It's eternal damnation's real. It's what we deserve. But the real story is the love of God. The real story is Jesus Christ. The real story is what I read to you in John chapter 19 earlier, that he loved you enough that before you were ever thought of, he took the punishment, the eternal damnation for your sins. Oh, is that love? It's nothing better. On my worst day, Jesus loves me, and he has saved me from my sins, and he's now my king. I want to show you 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we love God. See, it's not about us. It's not about us. We make everything about us, and that's the mistake. If you've got to get over yourself, and you have to just, you know, I know you have questions, but you know what you need to do? You need to let go, and you need to trust God. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. The satisfaction, the only way I'll be declared not guilty, is because Jesus Christ took the punishment. And the judge says, I'm satisfied with the work of Christ. Steve's my son. It's an amazing thought. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of God. The older I get, the more I realize this. I shouldn't pastor. I shouldn't be allowed to be a Christian. I have a great wife. Where's my wife this morning? Where is she? She moves all the time. She's ducking and weaving. And I will tell you this. I love my wife. We got this new thing going. This is totally a freebie. I probably shouldn't tell them, should I? I like this. This is kind of just because I could tell you guys needed a break. I'm going to get you back to the message. Boop, we take a moment here. But I probably shouldn't tell you this, but some of you guys. So I saw this. She was showing me some of her clips that she saved on the way home from Beckley, West Virginia. And she showed me this one, and I said, rewind it. And here's what, husbands and wives. Okay, this has nothing to do with the message, but I'm known for that, okay? So just hang in there. Should I tell them? I'm going to tell them anyway. Here's what I said. And she likes it too, just so you know, she likes it too. It said, there shouldn't be a day go by that you don't give your wife or your husband a real kiss. Real one. I like that. This has not been a complete day yet. But now we'll get back to the message. I tell you this, God's been good to me. It's because he is good, I am not. You know, if you really know Christ, you don't want to talk about you, you want to talk about Jesus. If you really know Christ, can there be anything that's even close to knowing Christ? I love Don Tillery. He's back there. He took his first vacation since he was saved. And he's been saved. How long is it now, Don? Is it 3 years? 2.5, but who's counting? I love that you are. And 2.5 years. He said, going on vacation as a Christian was so different than going on vacation as a lost man. And you know this, I knew that, but now he got to experience it. Was it better, Don? Better? Ain't no way I would have convinced you that before you got saved, right? But it's just, it's better. And you know why it's better? The love of God. You lived how long before you got saved? 60 years? And he still loved you, and he saved you. Now you're edging up onto being an old man, right? And there's nothing like knowing Christ, is there? Don, you knew of him before, didn't you? And now you know him personally. You almost make me emotional because I know it's just, it's that big for you. I want it to be as big for me, Don. I never want to forget how good it is to be a child of God. And it's all about the love of God. I want to show you a couple more verses. The Bible says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Christ was made a curse for us. You know why? He took upon himself our sin. He was cursed. He was then, he bore the wrath of God the Father, the wrath that you and I deserve, the damnation that you and I deserve. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. My final L, the law condemns, but it's so good. It's good that you understand you're in trouble. Love. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God didn't make us bad. He's just telling us the truth and what we are, and we don't like it. Had this 72-year-old lady one time, I was at her door, and I was walking her through the law. And I said, have I told you anything good yet? And she goes, no, this is misery. But she told me. And I said, I think you're getting it. I said, I think you got the bad news. Now let me tell you this, I've got good news. You don't have to live in misery. You can know Jesus Christ who will remove your sins, and you don't have to change yourself. Don't you listen to the devil. You don't have to clean yourself up. That's like putting lipstick on a pig. What you need to do is surrender in faith to Christ today. The wheels are already turning. You're going, not today, not today, not today. Then the devil wins, and it probably won't be tomorrow. Got to understand the law. Got to understand the love of God and its life. I want to tell you the only way we can have life is through Christ. If Christ is not risen, look at 1 Corinthians 15. I want to show you this. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep or dead in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. The Bible says this, Jesus could have done everything. Jesus could have come and been born of a virgin. Jesus could have put on flesh. Jesus could have been sinless. Jesus could have taken your punishment on the cross. And if he didn't rise from the dead, the most challenged, debated item of Jesus Christ, everybody's willing to admit there was a historical Jesus. It does look like he did some special things when he went into towns, but he did not rise from the dead. That's what people will argue, because the devil knows this. If Jesus is still in the grave, I'll see you in hell. The Bible says, if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. I want to help you this. Empty. Your faith is empty. And here's what he says. I do love this. He says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If I'm selling you a lie, I'm not selling anything today. If I'm preaching to you a lie, you are going to be the most miserable people in the world if it's not true. You know why? Because you're living a lie. And you're going to live for something or someone, and it's purposeless. So you have to come to this understanding this morning. Do you believe that there is a God? Do you? I doubt there are atheists here on Easter Sunday, but maybe there are. Do you believe then that God's big enough to preserve a book? Then I want you to know this. Do you believe what he wrote? Or is he such a pathetic God he couldn't preserve a book? I've got news for you. I wouldn't want to believe in any God that couldn't preserve a book, and he did. So then you'd have to argue with me to say, okay, fine, I'm not an atheist. Maybe he did give us a book. Maybe he was big enough to preserve it. But I think you've distorted it this morning. I am good. I had a guy who was a police officer. I didn't know he was a police officer at the time. Until he almost tackled me. And I was at his door, and I was just trying to help him understand. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. And he began to curse and to swear, and he was insisting to me that he was good, and I left. I'm not here to upset you. I want you to know Jesus Christ. I know the voices, but you'll never regret surrendering in faith to Christ. Well, this guy, I started going down the sidewalk, and all of a sudden I noticed, whoosh, he's running after me. And I'm like, oh no, this is not good. And so I had this thought, and God blessed it, whether it was the right thought or not, I thought, I need to get off his property. And so I kind of hustled down his driveway, right? You know, and whoop, got in the road. And it was just like he had an invisible fence. And I was like, oh, thank you. I was so glad. He took the pamphlet that I gave him, and he crumbled it up, and he started to scream and yell, and everybody that was with us that day heard, and they knew for some reason Steve's in trouble. Why couldn't it be somebody else? So he threw this pamphlet down, and he began to stomp on it. And he was yelling, I am good! I am good! I left, and he's still screaming on his lawn, I am good. I pray that God might have gotten a hold of his heart. It's over 10 years ago. If you want to be defiant about your goodness, the devil's won. God will save you. Here's what it says, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's simple faith in Christ. And that not of yourselves, it is gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you can get to heaven by your works, you can brag about it. You can't. I want you to see this. John 11:25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the resurrection. He is the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. I want to tell you this. It's belief in Christ. But understand this. The Bible uses these terms. Believe, receive, commit, surrender. The Bible uses those terms interchangeably. Everybody in this room, before you came this morning, you had some intellectual acknowledgement of Jesus, or you wouldn't have come on Easter Sunday. But I will tell you this, have you truly surrendered your life to Christ? Jeff, I love you. Many of you have heard this, but some of you haven't. Jeff's in the back row there. Jeff's one of my favorite sons in the faith. When I met Jeff, I sat down with him at a table, and he sat down and said this, I'm going to agree with every single thing you say, but I know I'm not going to heaven. I said, okay. Well, let's study the Bible. What Jeff soon realized is this. He was good with Jesus here, but he'd never surrendered to Christ. Jeff and I were having a Bible study for about a month or two every week. He comes to me, was this after about 2 months, 3 months, something like that? And I said, Jeff, are you still lost? Lost in your sins? And he goes, I don't know. He goes, I asked Jesus to save me, but I didn't feel anything. And before I could say anything, he goes, my buddy Doug's going to be at our Bible study next week. Doug has since been saved. My buddy JV and Xenia, JV is interested in hearing what you have to say. And he started telling about his friends, started talking about his family. And when Jeff, to say Jeff's a talker is to say I'm quiet. But old Jeff was talking that night. And I asked Jeff, I said, Jeff, did you ever tell anybody about Jesus before you asked Jesus to save you? And he goes, no, why do you ask? See, Jeff didn't know the signs of a Christian. But see, when he truly surrendered to Christ and said, whatever it takes, I want Christ. You see, Jeff, you've never been the same. Life easy? Not even close, is it? Not even close. Is it better? Not even close. But if I had told you life's going to get easy, I would have lied to you, and you would have been very discouraged. I tell you this, if you surrender in faith to Christ, life will be harder, but it will be better. I don't want you to forget this. It's not about a ritual. It's about Jesus Christ. Have you truly surrendered in faith? All that is to say, I'm yours, whatever you want, that's what I want. I want Christ. You don't want to leave this building today without Jesus Christ. You want Christ and whatever he wants from you. You say, how do you find out what he wants from you? You get in the Bible. We'll help you. We'll help you. You'll help me. You think I got it together? I don't. I need to stay in this book so I can know how to honor God, not in order to get to heaven, because I have a new king. I've known him now for 50 years, so, you know, he's my king. I beg you this morning, final verse, you're so familiar with. For God so loved the world. God loved the world this much. And what's shocking about his love is when you really understand our badness. wasn't like he loved a lot of good people, because there are no such thing as good people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's belief with the heart. I ask you this. Rather than you trying to convince yourself, is Christ the one you live for? If he's not, there's one of two options. You're not saved is one option, and that's the most likely. Or number two, you have forgotten about the Savior that you once committed to. You cannot lose your salvation. Remember, the gospel is what gets you in and keeps you in. And if you've gone a long, 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 long time and Jesus has not meant anything to you, I'd be concerned. I'm not asking you to go through a ritual, but I'm telling you this. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Why did your friends invite you? Why did you come this morning? I think it's because God wanted you here. All you must do is surrender in faith to Christ. If you just imagine, you wave the white flag and say, I don't know everything, but I know you're my only hope for reconciliation with you. You're my only hope for eternal life, and I want Christ. Christianity is about Jesus Christ. Christianity is not about heaven. Christianity is not about avoiding hell. Christianity is about Jesus. Do you want Christ? Do you want to live for Christ? And I know this, we all have a ton of baggage. Forget about the baggage, trust in Christ, and then begin today. Today's the day of salvation. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes.